You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Do you know how hard it was to say Tuesday?
Yeah, today's your Monday, isn't it?
It is my Monday.
Yeah. Womp womp.
But I said it correctly. So we're going to talk about loving your neighbor, particularly your introvert neighbor.
Yeah.
And maybe the extroverts too.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm in the introvert camp, so.
You never know. You might discover that you...
Yeah, this fancy word that I don't know yet.
We're going to learn with
surprising me with something today.
Studio this morning. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at CUW.edu. Live uncommon. Coffee in the coffee cup today.
Zambia.
Very good.
Yeah. I tried a new coffee place this weekend, and it was fantastic. I'm going back.
Can't find you, that's where you are.
That is where I am.
It's in this little old house,
and they like rebuilt it as a coffee shop and garden store out back with like this big greenhouse.
Fun.
It is really cool.
I can imagine you being lost there for hours.
Yes, that's a possibility.
Because you would like to spend some time with others or spend some time alone?
Probably
is the
with a book.
With a book, see? All right. In studio with us today, Janine Liebman. She's a licensed professional counselor and a frequent guest here on KFUO when it comes to matters of counseling and understanding each other, understanding ourselves. Janine, thanks so much for joining us on the Coffee Hour this morning.
You're welcome, Andy. Good to be here.
Understanding and loving your introvert neighbor. And we'll talk about some extroverts, too.
I guess.
Quite often we think of introverts and extroverts. Introverts we think of as people who don't want to talk to anybody, and extroverts as people who are loud and obnoxious and talk to everybody. That's the picture in my mind sometimes, but I know it's far different than that. So before we dig too deep into this, help us understand introverts and extroverts just in general terms.
Sure. So introverts and extroverts... Probably there is nobody that's all introvert and nobody that's all extroverted. It's really a continuum or a spectrum. And so you have an introvert on the one end of it and extrovert on the other extreme end. Most of us are going to fall somewhere in the middle between those two. I know that is definitely the stereotype that introverts are shy and quiet and lonely and extroverts are gregarious and talk too much. But really, it's more about how their brains work. It is a brain difference, and it's innate. We're born somewhere along that continuum, and so probably the primary thing is, where do you get your energy from? So introverts get their energy from being alone. They recharge and re-energize when they are alone, and extroverts get their energy from being with people. So it's not that introverts can't be with people and talk and be outgoing, and it's not that extroverts can't be quiet and alone. It's just, where do you need to go to recharge your batteries? So that's primary difference. But there's also some differences in terms of processing your thoughts. And so this is a huge difference. Introverts tend to process very much internally. And so they get a new idea and they like to think about it and dwell on it and take their time with it and mull it over. And so it can take them quite a while to finish those thoughts. Whereas an extrovert is going to think out loud. They're going to just, all their thought processes are going to be verbal. And so that's a pretty significant difference.
Whether it's ready or not to be shared with the world.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Which can be very frustrating for their introvert friends.
Like, slow down and think about it before we start talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. Internal monologue right here. What are some of the misconceptions that I know we're not talking about extreme groups, but that each group kind of has about each other,
right,
other than being obnoxious or lonely.
Right. So I think if you take maybe a context of marriage between an introvert and an extrovert, that may be a good way to look at that. Mm-hmm. I think an extrovert might get very frustrated with their introvert spouse because they feel like they never want to do anything. They may, sometimes they might think they're aloof or they're just not interested, which may not be the case at all. And then on the other side of it, an introvert might look at their extrovert spouse and think maybe that they're shallow and superficial because all they ever want to do is just talk, but they don't really ever want to sit and slow down and really think through things. And they might think they're exhausting and annoying as well. So I think we can kind of label it negatively. lovely. And really, I think the problem comes when we look at it as a preference, like you're just choosing this as opposed to this is how you're wired. Mm-hmm. And we need people all across the spectrum to make the world function. So we need to really respect those differences and realize that we're different. We're made differently for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to explain, this is in layman's terms, you mentioned a couple of times that this is a brain thing. This is how we're wired or hardwired in a sense. Are there like somewhat simple layman's terms to help me understand the differences in, not that we have to look at an MRI or something, but to understand the differences in how this functions in the brain between those who prefer introversion versus extroversion?
Yeah, so maybe it's more of a neurological thing, but there's a response to stimulation mm-hmm. that differs between introverts and extroverts. So introverts tend to have a pretty low threshold to stimuli. So in other words, it doesn't take much to get an introvert excited. You know, they don't need a whole lot of incoming stimulation before they become overwhelmed by it. Whereas an extrovert, they have a much higher threshold for stimulation. And so they're actually going to seek it out because they're not feeling stimulated until they meet that certain threshold. So it takes a whole lot longer for an extrovert to be overwhelmed with noise and chaos.
Just picturing examples in my head.
I know, me too.
From my own life.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, we're talking about this as a spectrum, and it's interesting because it, like, depending on the day, there mm-hmm. are some days when, you know, I'm like overwhelmed by stuff, and other days when I'm, I don't know, doing a cross race and something crazy, and I'm like, yeah, let's go do something crazy. Like, my extroverted side comes out. So we're talking a lot about negative right. qualities, like, oh, this is so terrible. But what are the, what, These are positive things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So introverts, and again, these are generalizations.
Right,
and again,
right.
We don't want to label anybody as an introvert or an extrovert, but introverts the tendency is to really take information in. There's a lot going on internally in an mm-hmm. introvert that we don't see, we're not aware of. So when you give an introvert a problem or new information, they're probably going to really process it very deeply, which is wonderful. We need that. We need people who will really take information or take problems and spend the time, and they don't mind going into the weeds mm-hmm. to kind of learn the depth of the issue, so that when they do have something to say, finally, it's probably pretty well thought out. And so we need to listen to that. Extroverts, again, a tendency. Now, I'm an extrovert, so I can say this about myself. but they have a tendency to broad knowledge, but very shallow. So we can talk to any number of people about probably any number of topics and ideas, but we're not going to go real deep with them. And again, that's a great skill to have. That's a networking skill. It's an ability to make small talk and reach out and connect with a lot of people. So there's gifts on both sides. We just have to be willing to acknowledge that and recognize that you probably can do some things I can't, and I can do some things that you can't, but we're all needed. So
what if you're truly gifted and you have all of those gifts?
Like you, Andy?
What if you can...
Covering the spectrum.
What if you identify both in yourself the ability to have those conversations, but also take a really long time to process some things?
Right. And it's so there is a term for that. This is the new weird maybe for the day. It's called an ambivert. Someone who is like ambidextrous, that can use both hands equally well. Well, an ambivert can kind of switch back and forth between being introverted and extroverted. I don't know that it's necessarily under their control as much as it is, you know, dependent on the situation. But yeah, again, so if you're falling toward the middle of the spectrum, there will be times or circumstances where you feed off of being alone and you need that break and the time alone. And then there will be times when you just really crave being around lots of other people and you need that interaction. And so, again, it's just kind of, that's just the descriptive term for that center of that spectrum where you kind of have an equal balance of needing that internal and external stimulation.
So some tips for loving your introvert neighbor and your extrovert neighbor as well. Now that we have a better understanding, a couple of tips over the next 2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes. All right. So for introverts, basically the advice is to remember that the people around you need some people time. You know, so they can get so lost and so absorbed in what they're doing and what they're thinking about that they forget that they need to make time for their loved ones. So as an introvert, sometimes you have to push yourself to make sure you've got some kind of a balance and you are spending time, you're giving time to your loved ones. Socializing is necessary. Everybody needs to be around people sometimes. Then for extroverts, it's important to realize that they're different. Introverts are different than us, and don't force them. If they don't want to go out and be at this party with a lot of people, don't push them, don't force them. And so find out when they're okay to hang out, find out when they feel like, okay, I'm ready, I can go do stuff. But, you know, you don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket, so you don't want to expect that your introverted spouse is going to be all the socialization that you need and that they're going to be up for it as often as you are. So really develop other interests, hobbies, volunteer opportunities. If you have a very social job, that's a good thing too. Realize that you're going to need to have some other outlets. So don't push and don't force an introvert to always be around people.
And the extrovert, loving the extrovert neighbor. Any other thoughts on that? With just about 30 seconds left.
Maybe just give them some grace. And again, you know what? I can say this personally, you know, because sometimes I'll say something with a new idea and I'll just start processing verbally. And my family will look at me like, what are you saying? I'm like, well, I'm not done. Don't take this as the last word. You know, just give me some space. Let me process it verbally before you react to what I'm saying, because I'll probably end up in a rational place.
I haven't announced it on the air yet, so it's not in concrete.
Or on Facebook.
Or on
exactly.
Facebook.
If it's not Facebook official, that's another conversation.
That's a whole
another
chapter. Janine, thank you so much for helping us sort this out.
Yeah,
and
we could talk about this all day.
Ambiverts.
I think that's my identity.
Multi-potentialite.
I know.
Coming up next, I had a chance this weekend to sit down with Tim Jenk, executive director of Camp Luther Haven, learn about his 25 years there at camp and what it's like to be a camp director for 25 years and loving his neighbors that come to camp.